Well, today my guest is Laurel Primo. You may know her name as the banjoist and singer from Red Tail Ring, but her newest album is a duo album with a Swedish folk player named Anna Gustafsson. The recording, called I Walked Abroad, is available for download at iTunes and CD Baby, and the physical CD will be available in a CD release concert next Monday, October 24th, when Laurel Primo and Anna Gustafsson perform at First Congregational Church in downtown Kalamazoo. Laurel, thanks for joining me. How did this project get started?
It is a bit of a long story. Out of the blue, Anna Gustafsson emailed me. My colleague is a Swedish student, almost done with her studies in Stockholm, and she's a folk musician. And she reached out to me 2 or 3 years ago, writing a grant for a collection of international women musicians. And I'm not sure if it was associated with a festival happening in Sweden or something, but she had found me playing Klawhammer banjo online, you know, the power of YouTube, and said, I'd like to collaborate with her in some way. That international women's supergroup never came together. The grant didn't go through, but it introduced us. And I was just thrilled with having a connection to Scandinavian folk music again that I hadn't had in so long. So maybe a year later or even two, I don't know the timeline, but a long time after that, I had been just mulling it over and decided to reach out to her and say, let's do something anyways. We both have the interest. I'm curious about Swedish music more. She was into Klawhammer banjo enough and American folk music to reach out to me. So then we just decided to do it on our own.
It is kind of funny how the folk music that you didn't grow up with seems so attractive and mysterious and exciting.
Sure.
When it's not your own.
For sure. Even the instruments, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty exotic.
You were both really drawn to the other's styles. How did you end up pursuing that?
Well, I wrote that email kind of extending my hand and taking a chance. And she said yes, and I was, you know, thrilled at just the opportunity for anything. And we met up that summer, which is last summer now, in Kalamazoo for the first time, and planned a 4-day meeting and basically a jam session to get to know each other musically and to see if it would work, if we would mesh well. And that went really well. That's when we taped a couple videos, and we decided let's keep going forward with it. And the year following that, we wrote and arranged and shared via email with each other music for the project and made plans to record this summer. And now that's been done.
You wrote and arranged. So some of it has new tunes that are written by you and Anna. Others are settings of traditional tunes. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. It might be about half and half on the record. So there's a lot of new material.
When she showed up a year ago, she had an instrument with her. She was carrying a case. And when she opened it up, what was in that case?
The nickel harpa is an amazing looking machine. It's just a masterpiece of technology. It's large. It's kind of shaped like the way a fiddle works, but you hold it horizontally about at waist height, and you play with your right hand with a bow, but your left hand is hitting small pegs or keys, and those hit the strings. Those stop the string in different places instead of your fingers directly. So there's an extra fretted sound compared to a normal fiddle. You know, there's not sliding notes like a violin would have, but it stops in discrete points. And there's an extra percussion of the clacking of the keys that makes it really exciting.
Did you have to meet in the middle when it comes to the strumming patterns or the picking patterns of a banjo?
Yeah. A lot in Swedish music is in time signatures of three. And in American music, there's very little of that. Once in a while, there's a waltz. But all the what we call the tunes are reels, kind of reel format in 4/4. And in Swedish music and Finnish music, there's all these polskas, which are, it's a dance in 3. And usually 3/4 doesn't really make sense on the banjo for whatever reason. But I found that there was a few different types of polskas and that their beats could be divided in sets of 2 or sets of 3. So the ones that were, square or divisible by 2, I could make sense of on the banjo, which is so used to working in sets of 4. Right. So I just found a way to make the kind of math of the clawhammer banjo work in these polskas by dividing the beats further and further until it was something that could be digested on the banjo. Okay. Isn't that a crazy thing?
This is great.
It's math.
We need, before we get any further into the details, we need to take a break and listen to one of the new tracks from I Walked Abroad. Laura, when is the concert again?
The concert in Kalamazoo is going to be happening Monday, October 24th. It's at the First Congregational Church downtown at 7:30.
Well, what should we listen to first here?
Well, one track that I brought along, I think, describes that polska on the banjo very well. This one is a slang polska, and we play it with banjo and nickel harpa.
Is the really harmonious sound of banjo and nickel harpa. My guest is Laurel Primo, the banjo player we heard, and her musical partner, Anna Gustafsson, a Swedish musician, is playing the nickel harpa. And together on Monday, October 24th, they'll release their CD called I Walked Abroad at First Congregational Church. So I heard the word polska, and I changed it in my head to polka.
That's what autocorrect does too.
What does polska really mean?
Ooh, I don't know that. I think it is a dance that comes from Poland. So it might just mean Poland. I remember Anna describing this to me once, the way that they have so much longer history over there to be able to, you know, look into. It's such a beautiful thing. So she was just telling me about the popularity of social dances. And I'm pretty sure that style of, it's kind of a spinning dance with a partner, few steps, lots of variations. I think that came from Poland and got popular and then became, you know,
Standard,
what we consider Swedish, you know.
Tell me more about Anna's background, like how she grew up and her circumstances, musical family.
I got to visit her her family home when I went there this past January to do some music work with her.
January in Sweden.
Yeah.
I loved it. Cold.
Being from the Upper Peninsula, it felt like going home. I had longed for deep snow all winter down here. It was pretty sparse in Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
And, it was great deep snow. She lived in the countryside near a town called Uppsala, which is not too far from Stockholm. And I think she picked the nickel harpa when she was young, just had kind of a connection to it, and then started studying it in elementary school and attended some different, what they call folk schools, which is a kind of a in between high school and college education that are very short. Yeah.
That's
isn't
strange.
That amazing? It's there's some kind of shorter year-long or two-year-long learning experiences between your, you know, in your grade school or high school and college that allow students to explore career options before they study something really deeply. And I think that's just an amazing idea. So she studied music in those folk schools and then decided to study at the Royal College of Music in Stockholm for her degree.
And then she was browsing YouTube and found you playing banjo.
Who would have thought?
So you are active with another musical group, Red Tail Ring,
yeah,
with Michael Beauchamp. And you took this on in addition to that, or did that group take a break? Or
yeah, Red Tail Ring has been performing solidly in the last 7 years, and we haven't taken a break at all to fit in this Primo Gustafsson project. But it's been a fun opportunity to try out a few of the compositions I made for Anna. Michael Beauchamp, who plays with me in Red Tail Ring, was kind enough to learn a few of the songs I was working on for her. And so we would have a lot of fun talking about this new side project in concerts. And I would just, you know, tease with a little tune or something. This October, Red Tail Ring's going to take a short break so that I can do this CD release tour with the Primo and Gustafsson project. So that'll be a fun new adventure for me.
It's wonderful that in today's day and age, it's so simple to share sound files through the internet, share even sheet music. And I'm presuming that you both practiced a lot, she
yeah.
in Sweden and you here
yeah.
putting it together.
I don't think the project would have happened without that. Or it would have happened a lot slower, you know, like sending a letter that travels on a ship to her with one piece of music notated on it. The project would have taken our whole lives. But because of the internet, we made it happen in a couple of years and sent each other MP3s of us playing and written notation of new songs or written out almost interpretations of traditional music that the other's ears just couldn't understand, being, you know, in the foreign music language from each other.
Yeah.
So we used just about every communication vehicle possible.
You and Anna kind of created a new category of musical combinations, instrumental
mm-hmm.
combination.
Mm-hmm.
Did you both collaborate also on what a concert of this music will sound like, should sound like?
Well, when we first got together and heard the tone of the banjo and the nickel harpa together, it just seemed to mesh really well. And I'm not sure why that is. My banjo has a sweeter, more bassier tone than a lot of banjos. And that kind of filled a hole under where the nickel harpa was playing. Maybe it was the sympathetic overtones of both instruments. They're both a little out of control when it comes to overtones. And maybe that just matched really well. But when we got together, we tried out everything we could think of, whether it was me teaching her some American tunes or her teaching me Swedish tunes, us singing together, one of us singing, the other playing an instrument, and a lot of plain old weird compositions that we made. And we decided to include a nice weird one on the record that is kind of doesn't sound traditional at all. It sounds kind of cinematic. So we experimented a lot and chose what textures we liked from the sounds that were laid in front of us and just kind of crafted a project from those.
The new album is called I Walked Abroad, and it will be available on October 24th, Monday, at First Congregational Church when you begin your concert at 7:30.
Yes.
Well, let's hear some more music. What would you suggest we listen to now?
I have one song with me that I decided to play a gourd banjo on. And this is a banjo that is the sound box of it is shaped from a dried out gourd that's been hollowed out. And this instrument doesn't have frets. So contrary to my new fashioned banjo, this one you can slide around on like a fiddle. So that was another combination that we tried, me and Anna, and I think the tones are really nice too. So this is a traditional American tune called Sally in the Garden.
Sally in Our Garden from the new record from Laurel Primo and Anna Gustafsson, an American and a Swedish pair of musicians who together are releasing an album called I Walked Abroad. You may know Laurel already from Red Tail Ring, which is a Michigan-based group and a very popular one. So we heard the sort of fretless gourd banjo on that track. I believe the banjo actually can be traced back to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Is this sort of an earlier iteration of the banjo that you're playing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the instruments in Africa that the banjo is based on were made more like this one. And when African slaves brought their music, you know, in their hearts with them to America, they recreated their instruments with the materials they found around them here. So that was things like gourds and vegetables and, you know, the tools available to them. So the banjo without frets, very similar to this one, is definitely the first iteration of the banjo in this country. And in Africa, I'm not sure what its evolution was. But when they trace it back, the instruments look more and more like this, some kind of hide stretched across a round or a gourd vessel.
How did you pick up the banjo?
I don't remember what first piqued my interest in it, and is certainly not a popular move for a teenager. But I first studied banjo with Joel Mabus around the time I was 16. I was living in the Upper Peninsula, and he had a relationship with my parents from music in their past. I studied with him for a couple of days and really got the bug, and it's continued to be one of my favorites, one of the instruments I feel like I can really express what music is in my head on.
I really admire Joel Mabus and his music. Did you learn anything else from Joel down through the years, or just simply listening to him? Or?
I've taken a couple different instrument lessons with him. I think he showed me a little on the fiddle one time and even on the dobro. And his excuse on that instrument, you know, he was teaching me but felt a little sheepish about it. He said, I know enough to get by or something. I know some of the licks or something. But Joel is, he's just a master. So his, you know, what he thought he was not good at was just, you know, amazing to me. And he's really helped shape where I wanted to head in music. Michael and I played music with him at our CD release concert a month ago. We shared the show with him and played a set of music all together. So it was really a joy.
I wonder about songwriting, too. Mm-hmm. It's another thing he's very, very good at. But mm-hmm. writing songs is a very personal thing, writing songs and or tunes. You know, mm-hmm. how did that grow for you?
I think that kind of snuck up on me. When I was finished with college and started playing music with Michael, I didn't really realize that I was signing up to do something related to poetry, which I hadn't practiced at all. Or, you know, I didn't think about songs like that. And it was not until working with Michael for a few years and seeing how he attacked it and what reverence and amazing technique he tried to throw into it that I really understood, wow, this songwriting thing is quite the study, quite a tough thing. And I didn't know if I was cut out for it. So I've continued to learn about that and attempt it once in a while. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel just as connected with writing instrumental music. So in my life, I go about both of those directions kind of evenly. And I do my best at songwriting, and I feel like I can get some ideas out there. But I feel just as, like I have just as big of creative voice or like I can communicate as much as I am with the songwriting in instrumental tunes. Mm-hmm. I feel comfortable there.
Well, before we go, I'd like to ask another question about your working with Anna Gustafsson. Mm-hmm. What was, if you can speak for her, what was she surprised by that you brought? And were you surprised in any way by something that she contributed.
I know that for both of us, just style was a big thing to learn. And what I, you know, you always think what your own skills are in is the simpler version. You know, I would always think, oh, American music in 4/4, there's not too much to this bowing that I'm doing. But in reality, there is. It's a lifetime of accrued knowledge, you know, and grooves and rhythms. So to her, she really, and I respect so much that she wanted to get it really right, trying to make the bowings just like I was doing. And the same was for me. That was the most foreign and difficult thing, trying to get those scales and kind of the rhythms to be accurate enough to honor the music and where it was coming from. So we did things like videotape ourselves playing the tunes so that we could watch each other's body language and try to pick up on just the subtle cues of bowing direction and just slight, I don't know what you call it, accents that are almost invisible in body language, but really affect the music a lot.
And it takes such an acute form of listening.
Yeah.
You can actually get tired trying to absorb it.
Yeah.
And then you go back to your old style without even intending.
Yeah. And that's some of the magic in this, that just as you were saying, listening to that Sally in the Garden, is this an American tune? This doesn't sound like an American tune anymore. And so both, everything has an accent now in the project, you know? And I love that. We're blending.
Well, Laurel, thank you for sharing your thoughts on this new project. Very exciting. I Walked Abroad is the name of the new album, and it will be available October 24th at the First Congregational Church when you and Anna perform, starting at 7:30 p.m. What can you leave us with here?
I'm going to leave you with a really gentle, haunting melody that Anna taught me. This is a slow polska, written by a gentleman born in the 1800s named Victor Gabrielsen. And this is one that Anna shared with me and just mesmerized me. And I loved working on it.
Well, thanks, Laurel.
Thanks.